today on Real Radio.
My Bible says God created the atmosphere from my nose up to the starry sky and beyond. So what do you want to talk about? Oh, my friend, did you know that when you look at the heavens, the natural, logical, reasonable response should be, wow, God, you're awesome.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences, and in this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. We often use the word heaven to describe things that are beyond wonderful or of exceptional beauty or maybe even incredible delight, and to be in heaven is to say that we're in a state of bliss or nirvana. But what has God said about heaven? You know, the Bible speaks of heaven over 1,000 times. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that evolution says the design of heaven was accidental. But the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and that our atmosphere shows us His handiwork. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God has established the heavens. That's in Genesis 1. That is the heaven he's talking about. Same with David in Psalm chapter 19. I love this. In Psalm 19, everybody, this is so cool. In Psalm 19, the Bible says this. The heavens, notice now it's plural. The heavens declare the glory of God. What does he mean? We'll march through this together. All that is seen from your nose upward declares the glory of God. Of God, says the Bible. Stop for a moment. Is that not true? Atheist, is it not true? I don't believe in God. But look, do you not, would you not entertain the fact that it is glorious out there? Would you please entertain this challenge that it is exact and finely tuned? That it is so specific and so perfect? That, for example, what are we? Earth from the sun, 93 million miles? Mm-hmm. Is that about right? Yeah. Okay, if we're 5,000 miles or 2,500 miles too close, we burn up. If we're 2,500 miles, less than the distance from here to New York, if we're further out, we freeze to death? When did evolution get that right? How did an accident dial that in just perfect? No, the heavens declare the glory of God, so says the Bible. And the firmament shows his handiwork. What is that all about? When we talk about the firmament, this is precious. It's announcing the fact that what he's woven, the firmament, it's not only the atmosphere in which birds and all traverse, but it is that glorious revelation of God's creative acts in the stellars. But we'll keep going through this verse, but we'll look at these things more. Watch what he says. Day unto day utters speech. According to God in the Bible, I love this, listen, that God's creative heavens speak. You say, no way, you're freaking me out here. Okay, yeah, sort of I am, but check this out. I find it, I should have gotten a picture of this. You can look it up later. Do you know what a radio telescope is? Have you ever seen some of those telescopes that the United States has built in various parts of the world? And do you know what they're doing? SETI is one of them. And you know, yeah, we spent billions of dollars to listen, it says, for any intelligent life out there. Oh, don't laugh, you paid for it. And we send out a signal and we wait for somebody to answer back. I'm not kidding. Anybody out there?
Real radio. Yeah.
And we wait. We haven't heard anything yet, but we've been waiting for decades. Okay. And you can look this up later. There's a scope. You can actually go to the thing and watch the scope if you want to waste time. Wait for. According to God, the created heavens are speaking. You say, no way, you're freaking me out here. Okay, sort of, I am, but check this out. I find it, I should have gotten a picture of this. You can look it up later. Do you know what a radio telescope is? Have you ever seen some of those telescopes that the United States has built in various parts of the world? And do you know what they're doing? SETI is one of them. And do you know, yeah, we spent billions of dollars to listen, it says, for any intelligent life out there. Oh, don't laugh, you paid for it. And we send out a signal and we wait for somebody to answer back. I'm not kidding. Anybody out there?
Real radio. Yeah.
And we wait. We haven't heard anything yet, but we've been waiting for decades. Okay. And you can look this up later. There's a scope. You can actually go to the thing and watch the scope if you want to waste time. According to God, the created heavens are speaking. I don't think they're going to see it on a scope. I'd love to see some guy sitting there with headphones and God says, boo, hey, how you doing? He's not going to do that because he's speaking. It means that you and I who have been created in the image of God, we have brains, we're supposed to use them. And as we look at his creation, it's not an audible shout that God speaks. It is this revelation of information in the human heart and mind that God has done it. Did you know that? Creation is speaking. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament is uttering, proclaiming, speaking that God is the creator. So when we talk about who told you about heaven, we need to tell people, well, what do you mean? Or ask them, what do you mean? Because my Bible says God created the atmosphere from my nose up to the starry sky and beyond. So what do you want to talk about? Oh, my friend, did you know that when you look at the heavens, the natural, logical, reasonable response should be, wow, God, you're awesome. No matter who you might be in the world, no matter where you're at, there is this revelation by the Holy Spirit inside of a human being who's been created by the image of God to be curious about who created this, not what. You've got to work hard to try to explain God out of creation. And what a terrible, terrible lie that is for you to perpetrate on yourself. It's certainly intellectually dishonest, and it's certainly not a science. If I had the faith of evolutionists, I would be able to walk on the water out there across the fountain. That's huge faith. To look at all the intricate design that you and I see in this world and then come to the conclusion that it was a grand result of a grander accident? My friends, nothing ordered comes out of an accident, and that is a lawful thing to say. When I say lawful, that is the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Everything goes from an ordered state to a chaotic state. Everything. Look at you. Look at me. You and I looked a lot better last year than we do this year. Okay, did you buy a car? It's already fallen apart. Pastor, I just got it last month. It's almost a piece of junk by now. Have you noticed that when you screw something in, it unscrews itself over time? No, have you thought about that? You say, who unscrewed those things? Nobody. It does it itself because everything's fallen apart. That is a law of science. Nothing puts itself back together. God is the engineer. God is the designer. I'm still in Psalm 19. And night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I believe that. I don't understand it. I just believe that. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set the tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That's very cute language. Well, when a guy's about ready to get married, the door flies open. He's ready to go. Where is she? The Bible says the sun comes up like that. Here I come. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Listen to this. In Psalm 19, the word heaven, you might want to circle this now. And you entertain this ancient Hebrew word, shamayim. It means both the visible and beyond sky. The word means that which is aloft. From the immediate atmosphere belonging to the foggy air. I like the fact that right now this morning a rarity is happening today. Our invisible air, the dew point has reached a close enough level to the temperature to what do we have going on outside? We've got mist in the air. Your car had mist on. It's not raining, but the invisible molecules to our naked eye have reached a dew point level to where it's formed water molecules around it and it's landed on your head or on your car. And that's a beautiful, I thank God for helping me in this because the word that you actually observed and felt atmosphere this morning, that's part of the heavens. Isn't that amazing? The word also means the immediate presence or air around us, continuing upward to the celestial lights or the stars or what we would call the bodies. We could even call space. And that would encompass from, again, sea level to the furthest observable star. When he says the heavens, have you looked at them? Have you considered them? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, then God said, let the waters, listen to this. You saw it a moment ago. From the International Space Station. Let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens, a segment of or a region of the area that I've made, God is saying, of the heavens. Okay, so what does that look like? We're gonna have some fun. I just can't teach this with old words. We have to look at these things, right? So look at the first picture of this. This is what the Bible's talking about. My goodness, by the way, I don't know about you. If you've been with us in Israel, we don't see storks around here. Those are storks. But have you ever seen the storybooks where the big stork is in Holland and he's on the roof carrying the baby, right? And he's got his nest. You know, those actual storks, they migrate from Holland, from that part of the world in the winter. They go down to Africa, and they fly down the Transjordan Rift, and one of their layover stops is in the Galilee of Israel. And we've all been, I wish I could say we've all been there. I want all of you to go. We've been there, and we've seen so many hundreds and hundreds of storks because we go there most often in the springtime, and this is exactly what it looks in the air. And then when they land, those things are about that tall. They're terrifying in size. But God says, yep, I've made the air for them to travel in. And they know that. That's why they fly in a V. Isn't that amazing how God tells them that? You guys got a long flight ahead of you. You'll never make it if you guys just do it all on your own. I'm paraphrasing both Bible and science right now. God tells them, however he tells them, I don't know, but God says to them, you need to fly in a V. And when you get pooped out front, I want you to go back to the back. And the next guy steps up, and when you get pooped out, then you go to the back, and the next guy moves up, and by doing that, you'll be able to fly all over the world. We're watching this right now. I was at my daughter's house the other day, and she lives in Eastvale, and it seems a little early for me, but what do I know? God must have told the Canadian geese to get on down to Southern California for the winter, because they're already arriving. You can hear them honking, flying overhead right here. It's amazing. This is the atmosphere that God says that he's created the heavens and the earth, or the heaven and the earth. The next one, we have to give God glory and honor. And look at that. That is absolutely awesome. The American bald eagle. I'm so glad that is our national symbol. I'm so glad that Benjamin Franklin's idea didn't make it. Do you guys remember what Benjamin Franklin's idea was for our national bird? The turkey. I love Ben, he's a genius. I think he's still the record holder of patents owned, but that was a bad idea to have a turkey instead of an eagle. And then the next one is those migratory Canadian geese that you'll see here or you're seeing here already. Who does this? God does this. God does this. He puts it in them and he says, this is the heavens. This is the atmosphere in which we live in. And there's evidence, there's design, purpose, functionality to all of this of what God has said in the immediate heavens. God says, I've made this. And I just want to give you this as an argument to your unbelieving friends and family. You can challenge them without even opening your Bible to consider the heavens. Ask your friends, let's talk about that. And all that God has engineered into this. I didn't put this on my notes, but you can throw this in. I might mess up the name of this bird. I could be confused, but the truth of what this one bird does is true nonetheless. I think it's the golden, say it again? With a B or a P? P? Plubber? The golden plubber? This is awesome. The bird lives in Alaska. And husband and wife bird get together and they make eggs. And the eggs are laid and they sit on those eggs. And then mom and dad, like any mom and dad that's just fed up sitting around and the weather starts changing and they're saying, it's getting cold in Alaska. Let's leave. They leave the nest with the babies. The babies are there. They're now getting fat enough and plump enough. And mom and dad say, catch you later. And they start flying south. And you know where they land? Hawaii. And they spend the winter in Hawaii. Here's the funny thing. 4 weeks later, the babies that have been hatched, they say, you know what? This weather does stink. Mom and dad does turn out to be, they do turn out to be right after all. And the babies leave. Guess where they go? They go to Hawaii. Here's my question to you. How do they know to go to Hawaii? Exactly. There's no explanation for that. It's instinct. Okay, who gave them the instinct? You see, come on. Well, that is one of the mysteries of evolution. Well, let me ask you this. It's real simple. You possess at least possibly one. Your eyeball. Maybe you're a pirate and you have an eyeball this morning. Let me ask you something. When did evolution say, you know what, that's just about perfect. We've developed it to the point, that's it. Let's leave it right there. Let's go with two of them now. How do you develop two eyeballs in tandem simultaneously? I'm doing this because, you know, they tell us that the salamander thing rubbed its face with its paddles until it developed eyes. I'm telling you, you got to have faith. I don't have that kind of faith. When does the woodpecker, I'm blowing this study today. When does the woodpecker, there are certain breeds of woodpeckers, and forgive me for being off. I didn't study woodpeckers this week. I'm sorry, but I'm close, okay? The woodpecker, what does it do? It pecks on wood. You know what it does? It doesn't care if it's an oak tree or whatever. It just digs in there, goes and finds a nut and stuffs it in the hole that it made. And it's going to use it later, right? Did you know that the tongue inside the woodpecker, the tongue in the woodpecker goes up into its cranium and wraps around its brain about 8 or 9 times? Did you know that when the woodpecker hits the wood that the tongue flexes and it causes the brain to move inside the skull, but the tongue that's wrapped around the brain decelerates at impact so that the woodpecker doesn't kill itself when it hits the tree? Did you know that if it was one less wrapping, the woodpecker would kill itself instantly by impact? Did you know that? Did you know if it was one wrap further that the brain would strangle by virtue of the power of the tongue around the brain? When did evolution say, that's enough tongue for me right there? That's perfect. When did this happen? How did this happen? Is that amazing? He is amazing. God did that. God did that. And then just for fun, God threw out to the evolutionist, God said, I think God just said, you know what? I see something coming down the road in the future. I'm going to create this thing. And I'm sure the angels went, what? I wonder what Adam, I wonder what Adam did when he walked up and he said, what is that? That's a platypus. That is the freakiest thing on the planet. God does this stuff. And I'm way out of bounds on where I was going on this. But the next thing we want to look at is the fact of the celestial heavens. So God has made all that there is. How should that comfort us? Listen, what should be the result of the creation nature that we see at our immediate fingertips? Listen, church, it should be worship. Worship. What should be the overriding impact of this topic in our lives as we look at the various descriptions of the heavens? Christian is someone who must worship God. You'll either worship God or you're going to go worship creation. It will be one or the other. You listen, for all of those who reject the worship of God, they fill the void and they worship creation. So for us, the believer, we should worship and praise God when we look at science, when we look at his creation, and as we look at the immediate heavens. Secondly, we look at the celestial heavens. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:26, for all the gods of the nations are idols. You know, carved idols, we're studying them about them in Isaiah. But the Lord made the heavens. I mean, come on, look at this, idols. The Lord God Creator. Which one's yours? Who's yours? Which God is your God? You're going to have one or the other. One you carve with your own hands. See, I don't do that anymore. And I thought, you know, someone's going to think, I don't do that. I don't believe in the God of the Bible, but I don't have idols. And I thought about this. Inside this little piece of leather. Now, this is my wallet. Not big, right? It doesn't have to be big because I don't have cash ever. So watch this, okay? So this is here's my little debit card. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything? As a Christian, I can use this to my benefit. In fact, I can actually use this to make money if I'm smart enough. Are you with me? This doesn't have to abuse me. I can use it to my benefit. All depends on what I do with it. I'm either going to work for it or it's going to work for me. It's a choice I make, right? So as a believer, I have chosen to have it work for me. So what does that mean? Well, it means that I'm going to exercise this in a way that is good stewardship before God because God's watching.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And our hope is that you can take comfort in the fact that the God who made the heavens can surely take care of you. Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And we would love for you to get your hands on a copy of the DVD set Who Told You About the End Times? Who Told You About the End Times is Pastor Jack's series that expounds on the doctrine of salvation, and we'd like to get that into your hands for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and get your very own copy of Who Told You About the End Times by Pastor Jack Hibbs for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity, really anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.